We're flying under the sermon banner, What a Name, What a Name. I want to read to you something in Isaiah 8, 19 through Isaiah 9, 7. Isaiah 8, 19 through Isaiah 9, 7. You know, when my son, who's going to be 39 next month, was 6 months old, I became a savings counselor at a bank, and then a senior savings account counselor. And one of the names that we're going to see that God has given is Wonderful Counselor. Now, my role was to counsel people about their money. Do you need a counselor? And have you had an instance or a predicament that's still yet unresolved? Think about that as we travel through here. Isaiah chapter 8, 19. And when they say to you, inquire of mediums, and the necromancers. By the way, they were doing that. The pagans were seeking to talk to the dead. And by the way, somebody close to me when my brother died in 2017 told me that I could do that. And I graciously listened to them. When they say to you, inquire of the mediums and necromancers who chirp and mutter, should not a people inquire of their God? You know, we really didn't need him to be a wonderful counselor. He is a wonderful counselor, but his word gives us all that we need. And we run off, pagans run off to different places to get information. So should they inquire of the dead on behalf of the living? Should they not inquire of God? Should you not be inquiring of God? And it's an intimacy when you're done with your list of people that you're praying for, and you then go further. You then begin to talk to the Lord as one who wants to hear from you. That's the intimacy that I'm talking about. He wants that intimacy with you. To the teaching, verse 20, and to the testimony, if they will not speak according to this word, it is because they have no dawn, they have no light. You all have experience sharing your faith with someone, and they can't see it, value it right now. And so you continue to pray for them because they have no dawn, they have no light. If they will not speak according to this word, it is because they have no dawn. They will, verse 21, pass through the land greatly distressed and hungry. Shouldn't we be coming to the Lord? I think it is because we don't believe. Do you really believe you can come into his presence and talk to him? I think it's because we don't really believe it that we run from him. We look for all different kinds of solutions. Verse 21, they will pass through the land greatly distressed and hungry, and when they are hungry, they will be enraged and will speak contemptuously against the king and their God. When you don't seek the Lord, that's what you'll be doing. This is the darkness that prevailed before Jesus, the gift, came along. And they will look to the earth, but behold, distress and darkness, the gloom of anguish, and they will be thrust into darkness. Verse 1, chapter 9, but there will be no gloom for her who was in anguish. In the former time, he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the latter time, he has made glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond Jordan, Galilee of the nations. Verse 2, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. So this is Isaiah saying Jesus is coming, but he's speaking of it as though it's already happened. The people that have walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. But that was fulfilled. Jesus fulfilled that. He came and he shined a light. Verse 3, you have multiplied the nations, the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. So what he's referring to there is when fearful Gideon had 32,000 troops, and God said, I want you to take away 31,700 of them, and I want you to go to battle with just the remaining 300, and I don't want you to fight. I want you to break pitchers and sing. And that's really what Ann was talking about today. God wants us in a place where we're broken, where we are depending on him, where we're putting our full weight on his merit, and we are asking his help. He revels in the fact that we would lean on him, but our inclination is to work. Our inclination is to be busy about finding a solution of our own. And you should look for solutions. But it should be done prayerfully. It should be done with, Lord, help me do this. You know, the law came about to find us guilty. In Romans 3:20, it says that every mouth would be stopped. The law came to convict us of sin. But now that we're saved, now that we live by grace, we still have to deal with the law. But this time, we do it by grace. We say, Father, help me to keep a covenant with my eyes so I don't commit adultery. Lord, be with my tongue so I don't bear a false witness against my neighbor. Lord, help me to not be covetous. So by grace, the grace of Christ, Hebrews 2:18, we're asking his help. And so that's how we are to conduct ourselves. That's how we are to walk. Verse 5, Isaiah 9. For every boot of the tramping warrior in battle tumult and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. Now this, believe it or not, is hearkening, and we'll go into it when we get there, but it is hearkening forward to the Battle of Armageddon in Revelation chapter 16, where there will be 183 miles of blood as high as the reins of horses. There'll be a battle called the Battle of Armageddon. It's really in the hill of Megiddo. Verse 6. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. You know, that is just representative. Those four names are just representative of what we see in Isaiah 7:14. We find there, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call him his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. And when God's with us, you have the Wonderful Counselor. When God's with us, we have the Mighty God. When God is with us, we have the Everlasting Father. We have the Prince of Peace. We have God in flesh form. I want to take you to Hebrews 2:14. Why did he come? Why did this baby have to come? Hebrews 2:14 through 18. Since therefore the children shall share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things. He took on human nature. So God, in the flesh, took on a nature that was totally foreign to him and pressed it against himself. But he walked in it. He walked with it in sinless perfection. He himself likewise partook of the same things, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil. The devil had dominion over death. He broke that power when he died and when he rose. He broke that power over you. You're like the elephant that was previously chained to the stake in the ground. Now you're free to walk in the direction that God is beckoning you to go. But sometimes you talk yourself into your old ways because you don't know that you're free. Verse 15, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. For surely it is not angels that he helps, but he helps the offspring of Abraham. Therefore he had to be made like his brothers in every respect, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For because he himself has suffered when tempted, he's able to help those who are being tempted. If you're going through problems right now, we have Diana in the hospital, and she says to me, I'm here because of mistakes that I've made in my life. She's honest about that, in part. Ann and I ran into Dennis Deacon, Jim, at Ben Arts, and he had that little tiny dog that's about 4 pounds, and he's hiding under the coat, and he's got a Santa Claus hat on and a wreath with a bell. And at home, for a couple of years now, his wife has severe Alzheimer's. She doesn't know where the bathroom is in her own house. When he goes to the garage, she might go out the front door going around the block looking for him. Sometimes we have to, where God puts us in a holding pattern. He's going to conform us, the goal, to the image of his son. And when I look in the spiritual mirror, I see a great distance between me, where I'm standing, and the image of Jesus. So a 5-mile-an-hour wind and sunshine isn't going to get it. Sometimes he holds us up by our ankles and the gusts are 25 to 35 miles an hour because he's trying to finish us, like Ann was alluding to, Philippians 1:6, being also confident that he that's begun a good work in you, and he certainly has, will perform it till the day of Jesus Christ. He is going to perform it. So if you... If you're in the middle of a trial, hold on to two poles. There was an ancient promise that God made to Abraham in chapter 12 of Genesis. Chapter 12 of Genesis. First 3 verses. Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. This is one of the oldest promises God has made, so it's the hardest to deliver on. Verse 2, and I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Really? Well, what do we find at the end of the book? In Revelation chapter 7, verse 9. After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples. So the progeny of Abraham was Jesus. Standing before the throne, all of these people were, and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. And all the angels were standing around the throne, around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshipped him, saying, amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. God came through with his promise. He said, I'm going to bless all nations. That's diversity. Since we like to talk about that in the media these days, verse 13. Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, who are these clothed in white robes, and from where have they come? I said to him, Sir, you know. And he said to me, These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. That's where you're headed. So whenever you are reading your scripture or going through a trial and you're trying to make heads or tails of what you're reading, or heads or tails of the trial that you're in the midst of, remember the two poles. God said, I'm going to bless through Abraham, and he does. He keeps his promises. He keeps his promises. So if he's done the greater, will he not do the lesser? The argument from the greater to the lesser we see in Romans 8. And then we'll close right here. Romans 8. Verse 29, for those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. The most daring promise in Scripture right there. Glorified is a past tense word. He views our calling, our justification, and our future mortality, putting on immortality, as one piece. It's not that you can stop the process. It's going to happen. Isn't that delightful? That's your future. So if you're in the middle of something, if you're holding a 4-pound dog and your wife is fading away after 50 years, if you feel like your life's falling apart and you're nothing, like my wife was just confessing, remember where you're headed. You're headed to this place where God keeps his promises. He is the wonderful counselor. He is the mighty God. He is the everlasting Father. He is the Prince of Peace.